I'm Chris Farrell from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other geeky podcasts over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast. This is podcast number 106, discussing Agent Carter Season 2, Episode 5, The Atomic Job, and Jessica Jones Season 1, Episode 5, a.k.a. The Sandwich Saved Me. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, February 10th, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil and Jessica Jones on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe.
Because a bomb is nothing like a souffle.
If you'd like to talk to us about how to bake a bomb like a souffle, you can catch our website, legendsofshield.com. We have a voicemail number, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. We also have a Facebook and Twitter account. Just search for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can also find our Tumblr at legendsofshield.tumblr.com, our YouTube, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and our network at gunnageek.com.
This time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to be talking about our giveaway that we have going on the Guardians of the Galaxy crate. We're going to be talking about Agent Carter, the Atomic Job. We're going to be talking about Jessica Jones, a.k.a. The Sandwich Saved Me. We're going to be talking about the weekly Marvel news, your feedback, and highlights from the very active chat room tonight. So first off, on February 24th, 2016, we will be giving away something that looks like this. And if you're watching us on Blab, you will see I am holding up my Guardians of the Galaxy Marvel Collector Core crate powered by Pop Funko. And what we're going to do tonight is we are going to look inside, because I have not done that yet. So to date, Haley, who's not with us tonight, hold on a second. Haley has been showing off her goods, and I'm just going to open it right here. So we're going to see everything that's in it. And first, there's a cool Marvel Collector Core patch.
Aw, it's the Scotty Young Rocket, too.
Yeah.
I love that.
And a little pin, too. Let's see if I can get it so you can see it.
It's upside down. I was like, what is that?
And, you know, it looked like it. That's a great
head. There you go.
Oh, and it just fell down. That's mine. Don't worry, folks.
No, he's opening yours and rifling through it and touching it all with his grubby hands.
Oh, cool. This is a cool comic. It's...
aw, a Groot mystery.
Yeah. Guardians of Infinity. And... ooh, the scarf. This is a nice scarf. Oh, yeah. I've been wanting this for a while.
That is a nice scarf. It has the little Pop Funko-looking Guardians stitched onto it. It's very cute.
Yes. And we have the little Pop Funko bobblers. And as you can see, you have Rocket and Groot there.
Yeah, Christmas Rocket and Christmas Groot.
Yes, this was a Christmas package, so we're giving it away in February. Go figure. That's how things roll on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We have no concept of time.
We have time dilation issues. Okay, and then in here... I've already seen it. We've already seen it from Haley, but in here is the...
a big chunk of styrofoam just for you!
Oh, guess what?
It's Star-Lord. I love those pop mugs. I have two now.
I have waited a long time to get this.
That one is nice. I have a Cap one that I got for Christmas, and I have this super awesome C-3PO one that I got for a friend of the show, Born to Eat Bacon.
Born to Eat Bacon.
Thank you so much. It's awesome.
Thank you very much, sir. We really appreciate you supporting the show. We really appreciate it. So anyway, that can be yours. Now, in order to get it, Lauren, what do people have to do?
What we want to know is the name, background, all this stuff about the next animal in the Stark Menagerie. We already know about Bernard Stark, the Devil in Pink. And right now, we also know about Edward Stark, the Spider Monkey. But who can you create? Can you start a Twitter war with Bernard Stark? The possibilities are endless.
Yes. So create a character. Tell us what the animal's name is. Tell us what the animal is. Tell us a little bit about the history. And if you create a Twitter account for the animal, it goes up. Your leverage in getting the crate goes up even higher. If you start a Twitter war with Bernard Stark, your stock goes even higher. And I have to tell you that we have somebody in the chat tonight at Adana Girl that has met all those so far. So if you want that crate, you're going to have to up your game to beat her.
Yep. You got some stiff competition.
And let me just read a tweet that occurred this week. And it's from Christy. She said, hoping the temporary truce between Bernard Stark and Edward Stark SM, that's Spider Monkey, doesn't spoil my chances in the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. contest. Well, as long as it remains funny. You started the war, but it has to remain funny to keep in the group. I'm just saying, entertain me. I need entertainment. I need a laugh. I'm old.
Yes.
I'm grouchy. I need to laugh.
And it has to be entertaining. No actual all-out thermonuclear war, because that's not funny.
No, and it's over with way too quickly.
Yes.
So, there you go. That's your Guardians of the Galaxy crate giveaway from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay. So, we're going to transition to something really quick. We on the Gonna Geek Network are a bunch of geeks. Go figure. And we like to go out and experience geekdom, don't we, Lauren?
Yes, we do. We love going out, meeting other geeks, doing geeky things.
So hold your horses, people. There is a promo that I'm about to play.
Hey, everybody. It's Naki from All Things Good and Nerdy. Want to learn more about networking and podcasting? Join me, Stargate Pioneer, Chris Farrell-Farrell, Cody Goff, and Willie Nelson at C2E2. We'll be having a panel in the workshop room. We'll be talking about podcasting for your everyday life, as well as the benefits of being on such an awesome network like Gonna Geek. Stay tuned, we'll have more details coming soon. We just wanted to let you know that we'll be there. Come high-five us and have a great time. See you later.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yes, me, myself, and I, along with all the people Naki just named, will be at C2E2 on the 18th of March, time TBD. We have a temporary time, but the final schedule hasn't come out yet, so we don't want to announce the final time, but we will be there in Chicago Friday, the 18th of March, so come on out and see us, and that will be a rockin' time. But we have a lot of other stuff going on. I didn't want to say anything until right now, but right now, this very weekend, our very own Agent Haley will be going to Gallifrey 1 to investigate time paradoxes, because they happen all over the place with comics. So she's going to go out there under the guise of being part of the Gallifrey public radio crew, and she's actually going to be doing work for us on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
So you can catch her there. You can catch Kier from Gallifrey Public Radio in defense of there. And next week, we'll be going over a more complete list of where to find Gonna Geekers in conventions in 2016. I know Lauren last year went to a lot of cons. She went to Gen Con. She went to Comic Palooza, which I think you'll be going to that one again this year and stuff like that. So just stay tuned, folks. Next week, we'll be going through a list of wherever you can find us. And that is subject to change, by the way, because we are geeks on a budget. So, you know, as stuff comes available, we'll let you know. But it'll be as complete list as we know it now. So, Lauren, you'd be excited to see Gonna Geekers at any convention you go to this year, won't you?
Yes, I will. I always love meeting new friends, making... Let me say that in the correct order. Making new friends and meeting old friends.
There you go.
Yes, that is how words are made.
So just stay tuned, folks. We'll get more information as it comes. Now, to the main event. We're going to be talking about some Agent Peggy Carter this week.
Yes.
And the Atomic Job.
So, oh, that was a good episode.
It was. I really enjoyed it. I thought we were going to lose Peggy for a second there, but we didn't, and it's great. So it was directed by Craig Zisk. This is one of two. You will see his direction again next week. But just to tell you a little about this guy's history, Charmed, Alias,
Parks and Rec,
Scrubs, and other Agent Carter. So this guy has been around for a while, and that's just a smattering. He's done way more than that.
Yeah.
And then it was written by Lindsay Allen, who does not have an extensive writing repertoire on IMDb. But guess what? She's written for Arrow and three Agent Carter episodes. This is the second of the third that we've seen her work in. So we got a nice little pair going here.
She also wrote Singularity, a video game, and she was involved in production staff with series like Eli Stone, Flash Forward. She's a story consultant for the Game of Thrones Telltale Games series, which is a very good. Seriously, if you haven't had a chance to play it, like, it's a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. So it was a great episode. I'm glad I got to watch it. It was fun for a while. It was one of the funner ones that I remember seeing because of the ensemble, the Team Carter that was going on. Lauren, what was your favorite part of the episode?
Oh, man, definitely the part where the squad all gets together and walks out, and it's this big, awesome moment, and then it really isn't. I loved it so much.
Jarvis cleaning himself off.
Yes, and then they're like, well, where's the car? It's like, oh, I parked it around the corner. I'll go get it.
I love Dr. Samberly just tripping over nothing. There was nothing there.
I've done that before.
I know, I have too, but you don't portray your superhero teams as tripping over
nothing. It's hardly the right stuff.
No, not at all. That, of course, is that the definitive original scene of that, the right stuff?
As far as I can tell, because I'm thinking Reservoir Dogs, and I'm like, no, the right stuff did it first. And I'm trying to think back further, and I don't know.
Yeah, it's the first one that I remember, and it was what went through my mind. It's the right stuff moment that went totally wrong. So it's the wrong stuff, basically, as they're marching out. So that was funny indeed. But it starts off with some great physical comedy because Peggy Carter wakes up, pulls a gun through Wilkes's head.
I mean, kudos for reflexes. I am never that aware of anything first thing in the morning. I mean, I just kind of flounder around like jelly.
So she pulled the gun on Wilkes and said, don't do that again. And you know, we've talked about it before. He's totally done that before.
Yeah. Also, how creepy is that portrait of Howard just staring at her there in the bedroom?
It looked like it's a creepy Hitler with the small mustache too.
Like, it's just creepy.
Howard, what are you doing? So there's that. And then, of course, Peggy sees why Wilkes is so excited, and they see the zero matter absorb into his body, and then his body becomes real again for like a split second.
Yeah.
That wasn't long enough for physical relations, by the way.
I mean, that would take some planning on their part, and if they could find more zero matter. Okay, so both Wilkes and Whitney are both like, this body is calling to me. So are they now both zero matter magnets? Because as far as we know, this lady, this dead lady, is the biggest source for zero matter at this point. And they're both like honing in on her.
So Wilkes mentioned that you don't want to know what's on the other side, or don't ask me about it or whatever. So I think there's something about the trans-dimensional thing on the other side that's pulling people around too. I don't think he's being completely forthright. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because he's scared. I don't know if he just wants them to get him out. I don't know, but there is something else there that they're not telling us at this time. And remember, Frost touched Haley Atwell. Frost touched Peggy Carter. So did any of that zero matter transfer into Peggy?
I don't think so, because as we've seen, zero matter doesn't get, as far as I can tell, thrown out. It absorbs or at least we've seen Whitney and Wilkes both absorbing. We haven't seen it go the opposite way.
When it's happening, though, some of it gets transferred and you can see it in the veins.
I didn't think of it that way. I thought it was like stuff getting pulled in through that contact point and getting sucked up through.
Maybe. I think she was lucky to get away, even though she was impaled.
Yeah, she definitely was.
She gets impaled and, oh my gosh. Oof. I'm like, oh.
When they're like, oh, you're lucky it missed anything vital. I'm like, come on. She has to have punctured at least an intestine, at least a loop of intestine.
I know.
It went directly through the center of her stomach.
That was an in and out.
Yeah. If it had gone in through like the side or something, that I would have been a bit more likely to think, oh, okay, it could have missed something. No, this is directly through the stomach.
That was not a Martian moment. It was not a little bit of antenna. That was a whole portion of rebar.
That was a big chunk of rebar. That was like the Matrix right there, like Matrix Revolutions, Trinity getting impaled right there.
Yeah, that game over. That's, whoa. And she survived. Of course she did.
When they were like, oh, she survived, I was thinking, oh my God, did they like use some of Cap's blood on her at some point? No, they were just like, you miss everything vital.
And then she gets the heck out of there. And Violet's like, Daniel, do you have something to tell me?
Oh, I know.
We never see his answer, though. We just see him look away.
It's like we're all kind of meant to know his answer. Because we're all like, yeah, he still totally likes her, but...
He totally does.
I feel bad for Violet, though. I mean, she's adorable.
She is. I still think she's a plant. You know that.
I know you do. I don't think she is. I think she's adorable, though.
I think she's a plant. I think Bernard Stark's a plant.
You think everybody's a plant, except for...
It's a counter-spy show. Of course I do. There's gotta
be stuff.
Except
for Sitwell, who you think is inexplicably alive. So, I can't fathom your logic here.
Well... We didn't see Kurtwood Smith this time around.
Okay, that's true.
And we did see, what's his name? Hugh Jones, played by Ray Wise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, that was great. The whole flashy thing, not really flashy thing because you have to zap them. Okay, you knew the second they're like, yeah, it erases their memory for the past 2 months. You knew that was going to happen. And yet it was still great.
It was fun. Agent.
I was trying to count. It was either 6 or 7. Like, because there was one I was laughing and I wasn't sure if I missed it or not.
She gives him with a long one at the end. And then he wakes up afterwards and his real secretary is like, did you have a good lunch? And he's like, Must have. It's apparently happened before to him.
Yeah. Ray Wise is so good in that role.
It is.
He's so good at playing... terrifying and hilarious at the same time. I've been watching Twin Peaks finally, and yeah, he's really good in that. And I know it's like however many years it's been, 20 some years on, but he's still got it, you know?
He is. And the physical comedy in this episode, particularly between Jarvis and Peggy Carter in the air vents, in the bomb. Jarvis just had a great episode.
Seriously, this role is so great playing to James Darcy. I mean, on the one hand, it really plays to the whole idea of, like, you know, the stuffy butler. And on the other hand, you get to see all these really, really great comedic chops from James Darcy that you might not see otherwise in a bunch of the other roles he's in. Like, because he does a lot of, you know, period dramas, and I just recently watched him again in Master and Commander, and then here, he's hilarious.
Yeah, so, Rose got some field action.
Rose is amazing! I continue to love her.
I got this. That's so cool. So, she's got the physical thing down, and she knows how to manipulate without making people think they're dumb. It's great!
Yes.
Dr. Samberly, oh, did you like my pie? And so, do you remember Samberly's reaction? It was so cool. It was like, your pie was in me. I was in your pie. I like pie. Pie is good.
Yeah, that was awkward and adorable. Yes.
It was. Well, that scene alone got me thinking everything in this episode, in this series, is a double entendre. Everything.
Pretty much. Yes. Which is funny because if you go back and you watch a bunch of movies set in this time period, There's a lot of really good double entendres because that's kind of how they got around like the Hays Code and everything.
I've seen bigger. Just talking about the knife. Oh, and Sousa. Sousa, we learn a little bit about Sousa. He has a past of a demolitions unit, basically defusing bombs and that sort of thing. But yet, when he's holding the nuclear rod, or the simulated nuclear rod, he drops it. You just killed all of L.A. And he's like, oops. So it's probably for the best that he couldn't actually do it.
Christy in the chat brought up the whole Stark has a Woody thing. I screamed at that. Again, James Darcy doing so perfectly with these lines and with the facial expressions and the physical comedy and just everything. There's so much to love about this show, but James Darcy as Jarvis has been one of, I think, the top five things about it.
It's a fun show to watch. It is. I mean, you can't watch the show and not be entertained. It is so cool. And then at the very end, Wilkes completely disappears.
Yeah.
That's not good.
No.
Not good at all. So what do you think's happening? You think he's just phasing in and out for a while until he completely phases out? Because they didn't have a chance to say goodbye or anything.
Yeah, I think he might be phasing in and out, or it definitely has something to do with whatever's on the other side, wherever the zero matter comes from. I haven't really had a chance to put my thoughts more in order than that, but it definitely has something to do with that. We'll see how he comes back. I'm pretty sure if he comes back, he'll probably still be intangible. He might have some sort of weird, freaky zero matter superpowers. I don't know, but I don't think he's going to be the same.
I have one more question for you. What happened to Rose at the end when they brought Peggy into Violet's house? Where was Rose? She was with them. And Samberly, where was Rose? Oh, they were out in the woody. That's where they were.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
There you go. All right. Do you have anything more for the episode, Lauren?
I was really wondering if, because we know that Angie is supposed to come back in like a hallucination dream sequence thing. And I was wondering if it was going to be when she fell onto the rebar, if that was, if she was going to hallucinate like Angie coming in, and but that didn't happen. And it was a lot more serious than that.
Yeah, it was. Well, maybe as she goes through her fever next episode, as she's recovering, maybe we'll see Angie then.
It's probably going to be something like that. I'm really looking forward to seeing Angie again. And I'm looking forward to seeing Dottie again.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to seeing Anna.
Yes, because we saw her for all of like 3 seconds here. And she was like mumbling and snoring, which was cute. But
could have been played by anybody.
You know, it's just not the same.
No, not the same at all. All right. I'm really looking forward to next week here. We are now at the halfway mark. Things are going to start getting a little complicated over the next few episodes before they start tying up loose ends. So we'll see how that goes. And Haley should be back next week to talk about her thoughts. And we'll let her give her thoughts about this episode as well. So before we move on to Jessica Jones, I just want to remind everybody that we're part of a network. Not only are we part of a network, but we actually have... what would you call it? A sister podcast, Lauren? What would you call Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition?
Sister podcast, daughter podcast, Spawn.
I'll go with daughter because Spawn is a little too dirty for me. I'm thinking.
Well, see, since it's comics, it works on like two different levels.
Yeah, that's true. That's
even
true.
Though
okay.
Spawn was...
We've spawned another podcast. Yes. It is called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. The latest episode just dropped right before we started recording this. It is titled Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition on February 10th. Yeah, catchy title. Do you like those long box titles, Lauren?
Oh, yeah. So catchy.
Okay. So Adam breaks down Operation Sin number 2. Then Lauren takes her segment to talk about a few Marvel mutant comics that dropped last week.
Yes, I do. Yeah, wrapped up the Worst X-Men Ever miniseries, which was a lot of fun, among others. Uncanny X-Men. Just, yeah, bunch of X-Men comics. So fun.
All the great stuff. And then Neil goes through his pull list as well as does a very interesting expose on not only the Invincible Iron Man number 6 issue that came out, but the entire series up to date. So it's great. If you haven't catched it out, do so. It's found at gunnageek.com. It's only about 20 minutes of your time and it is some fun stuff. Highly produced as well, if I might just tout myself a little bit. Yeah.
I think you deserve to. It's good.
All right. So with that out of the way, we are on our way to Jessica Jones land.
Woo!
Woohoo! So this week we had Jessica Jones, aka the sandwich,
saved me, which is, I think, my favorite episode title.
And I forgot why it was until I rewatched the episode. I'm like, oh, that was a cool moment. And we'll get to that in a second. But it was directed by Steven Sergic, who, get this list. And this is the most impressive that we're going to talk
Kids
about tonight.
In the Hall.
X-Files, Eureka, Warehouse 13, Burn Notice, Arrow, Flash, Daredevil, and Person of Interest. I mean, this guy has got it going on. Steven, yeah. My hat is off to you. Of course, my hat's off to everybody right now. And if I took my earphones off, I wouldn't be able to hear Lauren. So that's not coming off. Sorry. But Steven, well done, sir. Good career so far. And this was a great episode for you to direct. And then it was written by Dana Barada, who, guess what, is a Jessica Jones co-executive producer.
I'm looking at some of the other stuff that she's written for. She wrote for Dawson's Creek.
And Warehouse 13, yeah.
Yeah.
So this pair has got some cred to it. And as a writer, her credits might be a little short, but she has a lot of creative team, we'll just call it creative team credits to her name.
Mm-hmm.
So that is awesome. All right. So this Jessica Jones episode, The Sandwich Saved Me, it was referred to several times, and they did it in very subtle and unique ways about putting your cape on, becoming the hero, saving people, and that sort of thing. But they did it when the sandwich with Jessica Jones was working.
So what cracks me up is that in certain parts of the U.S., those particular types of sandwiches are also known as hero sandwiches.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See what you did there?
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yeah. So she, as a sandwich, stopped the car from killing that girl, because let's face it, the girl was going to get killed.
Yeah, this adorable little girl.
Right. There was that. There was the jewel.
The sandwich saved me.
The jewel costume comes out.
Yes, which gets shot down immediately. And I love that Trish is the one who's the most hype about all this. She's the one that made the mock-up of the costume. She's the one who's trying to push Jessica into doing this. She's the one who's like, you can make a difference. You're the one of us who can make the difference. She's the one who's pushing the name Jewel.
Stripper name.
Oh. Yeah. If I put that on, the only thing they're going to be calling me is Camel Toe.
Maybe I should run around naked as a naked
they
superhero.
They could call you the naked superhero.
Yes,
that could be
please,
a thing.
Please do that. I would appreciate that. I won't leer
like
at all.
It's like reverse Wonder Woman from... Robot Chicken.
Yeah,
it's so interesting to me because you see Jessica as somebody who's just irresponsible and just, again, completely out for herself, just kind of coasting along. And you see Trish as this person who knows about her powers and is like, if I had these powers, I would, because of her sense of helplessness and because of her past, is like, trying to encourage Jessica to do more and trying to be like, look, you can totally do this. And you see Trish put on the domino mask, which is a nice little call forward to Hellcat, which I hope we get in season two.
I was just going to ask, do you think we're going to get Hellcat?
I am absolutely betting we are going to get Hellcat.
Okay.
You see the character growth from Jessica being somebody who's just like, I mean, I can do this. And it felt cool to help this girl to how she is in the present, where she's helping these people and she's driven to do so, and she's not trying to be a hero now, she just is.
Well, a little bit about this whole thing is her arc personally of becoming somebody that is a quote-unquote superhero, that she's actually helping people, but she understands the detriments to it. She understands that things can go very, very wrongly, and she has mm-hmm. to protect herself. I hate to overuse this expression, and it's kind of funny because I'm wearing my Spider-Man geeky jersey, but with great power comes great responsibility. She is learning that throughout this entire series, and we get to see where she was, and then we get to see her meet Kilgrave for the first time.
Oh, that's so horrible. And we see that Malcolm was there, right there at her first meeting with Kilgrave.
I know.
And it's so horrible for everyone.
Just terrible. Just goes horribly, horribly wrong. And we also get to see Malcolm before he became Kilgraved.
You know, yeah.
The picture that they brought up, that Trish and Jessica brought up on the computer just 6 months ago. And
yeah, and he just looks so, I mean, it's still recognizably him, but he looks a lot healthier. He looks a lot more present. And he just spiraled down really fast.
Now, why do you think he's still using after he's not mind controlled?
Well, first of all, some people have addictive personalities.
Yeah.
And that's what he says. He's like, well, what if Kilgrave knew that I always had this in me? And second of all, it's hard to kick that sort of thing. He's on what, like heroin? I think based on like the nodding off and everything. Yeah. I think he's on heroin.
It's very cheap too. So
yeah. And opioids are not the easiest thing to kick, especially because of how they interact with your body. What they do is they actually bind to these receptors in your body to the point where detoxing from them is extremely painful because
and
your
dangerous.
Body no longer, yeah, it's extremely painful and dangerous because your body no longer recognizes what it's supposed to feel like. It's not just a question of willpower. It's a question of your body, once those opioid receptors are no longer being targeted by whatever artificial opioid you're taking, it's in constant pain. Your neurology, your neurochemistry is changed from it. And it's an incredibly dangerous and horrible, honestly, process. So that's why people get hooked on it so easily, is because they no longer remember or can bear to feel baseline anymore. So even if he didn't have an addictive personality, the fact that Kilgrave would have told him, hey, pose as a junkie and do this after a certain time, I mean, it's not a question of just stopping it cold turkey.
Yeah, it's a big thing. So my issue is there might be some physical addiction to it, and he might have an addictive personality. But my take on it is, just like everybody else that has been Kilgraved, he has a difficult, if not impossible, time coming to terms with what he is doing under the influence of Kilgrave. And this is his way of coping with it.
That too.
That's my take on it.
Plus, he also has the added thing of remembering what he was like before and being like, well, if I'm this far down, I mean, why bother digging my way out of it?
Right.
It's easier to dig down than to climb up.
Right. So I think this was very interesting in this episode that they showed the trio of Reuben and Malcolm and Jessica Jones together several times.
I just thought of something regarding that. In a lot of ways, you can kind of compare Malcolm and Jessica, because at the beginning of the series, Jessica, I mean, throughout the whole series, she's an alcoholic. You see her drinking less as the series goes on. But the first few episodes, I mean, she's drinking heavily. She drinks to go to sleep. She drinks when she wakes up. She drinks when she's out on the job. And again, it's easier to just keep digging than to walk out of whatever pit you find yourself in. And she, like Malcolm, remembers who she was before she was Kilgraved. And her life might not have been great, but it was her life. And Malcolm taking pictures and spying on Jessica might not be as bad as, you know, all the stuff that Jessica did when she was under Kilgrave's control, but it's still bad. So they're both kind of similar in that regard. And I think that maybe one of the reasons that after Jessica finds out, she's just like not able to just abandon him, is because she sees herself in him.
Right. This series is so deep, and it's honestly, it is difficult for me to get through it. And it was difficult for me to watch it the first time. I'm glad we're spursing it out even more so than we normally would, because normally we'd go all 10, but we haven't been able to do that. So there is just such a big mind fracking going on. It's difficult for me to find that entertaining at the level that it's being done. Like the little girl last episode, or what he's really doing to Malcolm this episode, because he could tell Malcolm, don't use. And Malcolm wouldn't use, at least for 12 hours. And he doesn't. He's not using his powers for good ever. I mean, we kind of see Jessica, I don't know, trying to bend him or whatever, but he is just, oh. And in this episode, he has pulled a fast one on Jessica. He knows he can't mind control Jessica. So his defense against that is to gain personal security.
Yeah.
Which makes Jessica's plan go horribly wrong, even though the ringer is brought in. Will, he can be useful.
Yeah. Which, speaking of Will, okay. On the one hand, you see him being useful and you see him, he wants to help. He genuinely wants to help. However, he's a very unstable person. And you see elements of that starting here. I mean, well, technically you saw him, you know, last episode he was trying to break down Trish's door. But you see elements of that starting here with him trying to torture that security guard and him just kind of horning his way into Jessica and Trish's conversation, which I really like. Hey, last night was fun, but that doesn't mean I want your opinion. I really liked that.
Right. But they do need him.
Yeah. And I mean, he's not an inconsiderate guy, as shown by the first ever going down on a lady scene in a Marvel show.
That was nice.
So, yes. Kudos on you, Marvel.
Guys, take note of that.
Mm-hmm.
It can work to your advantage.
It can. And he's not a complete and utter douchebag, but dude has issues. I mean, everyone in the show has issues.
Yeah.
But even Jessica has somewhere where she draws the line, and that's saying something.
So do you think Kilgrave is just fascinated by Jessica, and that's why he wants to keep tabs on her? Or do you think he already knows he can't mind control her, and he wants to do surveillance so that she doesn't surprise him?
I think it's a little of both. I think he became fascinated with her because she was the first other person, the first woman, especially with superpowers that he'd ever met. And she had a physical superpower as opposed to his mental one, so that she could be the muscle to his brains. And I think that appealed to him. And then, yeah, I think that after she became the one who got away, he became absolutely obsessed with her and just wanted to keep tabs on her and wanted to eventually maybe be like, oh, yeah, she'll come back to me. She has to come back to me. Her life's so bad without me. She'll come back to me. Which, I mean, you see a lot from people who don't have brain superpowers, sadly. So it's definitely a little of both. And again, Kilgrave is a terrible person.
Terrible. Terrible
yes.
person. We see it
don't
over and over again.
Don't stalk your exes, people. Just don't. It's not fun. It's not happy. It's not romantic. Just don't do it. It's
move on. Move on and live your life. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Jessica and Will have a quaint little conversation, which neither of them can hear the other side do.
I love that. They're both like, oh, I don't like you. I don't like you. You're terrible. Hi.
With the smiling faces back and forth. Yeah.
I liked that.
Well, at least they figured out it worked. Because
yes.
If not, they would have had words later.
And hope.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Hope.
Oh. Oh, my God. Seriously, every time she's on screen, it means get ready to feel like you just want to bury yourself in a blanket and cry for an hour, because everything involving hope is sad and soul-crushing and terrible.
That's one of the problems I had with this series, was that you're really rooting for Jessica to save Hope, and it never happens. Bad things continue to happen to that girl every single time until it falls off the face of the earth. And I just even seeing her in this one where she needs protection money, she gets blanket partied anyway. Like, oh, that sucks.
Well, yeah, you think it's protection money.
Well, yeah.
But the thing about, like I mentioned, like every time we talk about Jessica Jones, the thing about this being basically a study of abuse and abusive relationships is that you can't save everyone, and Hope is the person that you can't save.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is why it's so incredibly sad, because she's just this kid with her whole life ahead of her, and yeah, it ends up the way it ends up.
So if I'm Jessica, and I made this deal with Kilgrave to send a picture at 10 o'clock just so he stays away from Malcolm, I don't for one second believe that he's going to stay away from Malcolm. Ever. What do you think?
Because of Kilgrave's sick, twisted, weird motivations, and because he doesn't care about Malcolm, whereas he does care about Jessica, because he was only using Malcolm to keep tabs on Jessica, I think he would.
All right. Well, we don't really get to see the end of that, but it's an interesting conversation into the psyche of a wacko plate nut job.
Yeah. Like, again, he's exploiting another weakness. What he perceives as a weakness is that he knows that Jessica doesn't want other people to get hurt. He's exploiting that whole, if you don't do this, I'm going to hurt this person that you don't want hurt. But if you do, that's all I want, is I just want to keep tabs on you. Mm-hmm. See, aren't I being reasonable?
Never.
He's not being reasonable.
No, not at all. All right. Do you have anything else for the Jessica Jones, the Sandwich Saved Me episode?
Oh, Jessica at the office at the beginning of the episode.
Right. With the rubber band ball.
Yeah, with the rubber band ball and the blackmailing her boss and...
pushing the cabinets out of the way.
Does day drinking count as experience or special skills?
There's some great quotes. It's too bad Haley's not with us tonight.
Yeah, there are some really great quotes. This really is... watching it on its own, I really liked this episode. I still think one of the later ones is one of my favorites, but this one's up there.
Yeah, it's up there. I like the episode 3, and this would probably be close up there a second. I'd have to watch them again, which I'll probably never do, to determine which one I like better. But anyway. Okay, anything else, Lauren?
I don't believe so.
All right. So, again, we are part of the Good A Geek Network, and there are some amazing shows on the network. Now, one that we're going to talk about right now is called In Defense Of. I was on a very early version of In Defense Of. Lauren, you've been on a few, haven't you?
I've been on, I think, 2.
Okay, at least 2. I seem to remember 3, but at least 2.
I might have been on 3. I know 2 for sure.
Right. You were on with Jeannie, and then you were on with...
I was on Talking About Bad Movies.
You were on with Neil, too, weren't you? I can't remember. Anyway, you've been on a few. Our friend Keir from Gallifrey Public Radio, this is his podcast. He runs this. And there have been a few episodes out. One, and this is a couple back, but one is episode 15, Why Not YA Fiction, and YA stands for...
Young Adult.
So this week on In Defense Of, they were joined by librarian, book reviewer, and technology integrator Joy Piedmont. And they're looking at young adult literature as an isolated category and why its appeal transcends this target audience. So you're talking about stuff like Harry Potter or Twilight.
Hunger Games.
Yeah.
This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart because personally, I find that young adult, new adult books are taking risks that current traditional publishing isn't really willing to take. So give this a listen. I think that if you're not a young adult reader, you'll be educated. And if you are a young adult reader, it could be interesting to hear another person's viewpoint.
Yeah, so go check that out. That's In Defense Of, number 15, found at gunnageek.com. All right, let's get on to some news. All right. We're kind of in a lighter news week, probably because the Deadpool team swamped everything else out there.
Between Deadpool and the Superb Owl, yes.
So, what day are you going to see Deadpool, Lauren?
Friday. My husband has the day off, so we're going to have an early Valentine's Day and go see Deadpool. Woo-hoo! I'm sorry, Skullpoople.
Skullpoople. There you go. So, aside from the Deadpool stuff, which is coming out this weekend, and if you go see it, give us a voicemail. Tell us what you thought of it. So, Haley Atwell, this is important, especially since we're watching Agent Carter right now. We're in the middle of the second season of Agent Carter. Haley Atwell was cast in the Conviction pilot. So, Lauren, tell everybody why this is so important.
Okay, so some people are predicting that this means that Agent Carter will not be renewed for a third season. And I don't know. It could mean that, or it could just be that this is a short season and that she'll be doing both because it's going to be with ABC. And if they're filming on like the same lots, she could do both series. I mean, people have done multiple series for the same network before, or even different networks. Lawrence Fishburne did Blackish and Hannibal at the same time. But we'll see what it means. But Conviction, it sounds like it's right up my alley. It's crime procedural. And she will be playing the brilliant but ne'er-do-well daughter of a former president who's blackmailed into taking a job as the head of Los Angeles's newly created Conviction Integrity Unit. So if she's playing the daughter of a former president, does this mean she'll be having an American accent?
I would think so.
So will we just be drinking every episode then?
Yeah. The drink, I'm not sure if the Agent Carter drinking game.
She had an American accent this episode.
She did,
by the way.
You know, yes. She did the hallway fight scene, so she got some punching in.
I did not find a Hedy Lamarr reference, though.
Oh.
So only two.
Yeah. They're slacking, unless we missed it. They're slacking. Okay, so.
I might have missed it.
Cajun Sean in the chat, by the way, said he's going to try to see Deadpool this weekend. So we wish you well.
Good
sir.
On you. Yes.
So I just want to close off this Hayley Atwell casting in the pilot. So we have the Mockingbird show, which I forget, Most Wanted, I believe. Marvel's Most Wanted. So that might end up being a off-season show to replace Agent Carter. Might not be a full series. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. It's possible.
It might be. We'll see.
Yeah.
If they manage to wrap up this season in a way that makes things all satisfactory, I will have less of a problem with it. Like if they're like, oh, and now they go on to form S.H.I.E.L.D. Okay, I won't have this much of a problem with it.
Right.
But if they wrap up the show without them actually forming S.H.I.E.L.D., I will be angry.
Angry Lauren. Angry Rabrat.
Angry Lauren.
Oh. Ah. Don't give you a knife. Okay, so we'll keep our eyes on this. We'll see what's going on, and we'll probably take a closer look at the ratings of Agent Carter, which we really haven't done lately. So we'll kind of recap that next time, especially in the light of this news. All right. So going on to Civil War, which after Deadpool is the next Marvel comic related movie, but it is the next Marvel Cinematic Universe movie that's coming out. And of course, we had the big game this weekend, the Super Bowl.
Superb Owl.
Superb Owl is what I've heard. And, of course, there were a couple of commercials which we need to talk about. The first one was the Civil War trailer.
Yes, it was just the newest trailer for Civil War, and I was quite happy because it had a lot of Bucky in it. And let's face it, I am very here for Bucky.
Well, we get to see what team everybody is on.
Yep.
And they tweeted what team they were on as well.
Yeah, it's like everyone, team, are you team Ant-Man or team Iron Man? And then, of course, the cast took to Twitter. And I included a link of a collected tweets from the cast. So you have like Chris Evans, team Cap, Robert Downey Jr., join team Iron Man, we have snacks. Don Cheadle, hashtag team Iron Man, hashtag war machine, let's be civil and go to war. Paul Bettany, Mr. Stark and I go way back. Jeremy Renner, team Cap, it would be my genuine pleasure. Anthony Mackie, when do we start? Jon Favreau, Happy Hogan is on Team Iron Man. William Shatner, Team Cap. Peter Mayhew, who plays Chewbacca, Team Cap. So
Cap's getting a lot of love.
I mean, I have to be Team Cap because Bucky. Come on, y'all.
Right.
Bucky.
Now, one thing in the comics, though, is that we've seen in the past few weeks is there's a lot of Tony Stark taking over the new Avengers team. So I'm kind of wondering where it's all going to end up after this series. So we'll see. So moving on to the X-Men version of the news, we have some Legion news.
Yeah. So last week we tweeted, oh, hey, the female lead was cast. I think it was last week. Could have been week before. I don't remember time anymore. Anyway, there was more casting news. First of all, they have cast their own Legion, David Haller, who is Dan Stevens, who is also known for Downton Abbey, and is going to be the Beast in the upcoming Disney Beauty and the Beast live action movie. Also, and this made me happy, Aubrey Plaza and Jean Smart are joining the cast. Aubrey Plaza is April Ludgate in Parks and Recreation, which is one of my favorite shows, and she's one of my favorite characters. She's also the voice of Grumpy Cat in The Grumpy Cat Christmas. And Jean Smart. Okay, so what I most know her from is this cartoon, this very short-lived cartoon called The Oblongs, where she played the mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
They show it a lot, well, maybe not so much lately, but they used to show it a lot on Cartoon Network on Sunday nights at like, I don't know, 4 in the morning or something.
That's not really Sunday night. That's Monday morning.
Well, whatever. I would watch the West Coast feed, so it'd be on when I was waking up on Monday morning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're both joining. Aubrey Plaza is going to be playing Lenny, David's friend who, despite a life of drugs and alcohol abuse, knows that any day now her life is going to turn around, which sounds like the complete opposite of April from Parks and Rec. Yeah. And Jean Smart is going to be playing Melanie, a nurturing, demanding therapist with a sharp mind and uncontrollable methods.
Okay, so first of all, I miss Parks and Recreation. I'm just going to lay that on the table.
It's on Netflix. It's so worth it. Just watch in, like, I guess season 2 or 3. Once Ben and Chris show up, then it's worth watching. Like, a lot worth watching.
It is. It's great stuff. And we'll keep tabs on Legion as it develops. Mm-hmm. But the next one is very important to
yes.
the female portion of our listener audience, and probably a part of the reason why Deadpool received its R coveted rating. And
yes.
Lauren, I'm just going to let you explain to everybody what we're talking about here.
So Deadpool is not a movie for kids. We've discussed this. So ladies, gents, all interested parties, Ryan Reynolds is going to be full frontal in Deadpool, and he has confirmed that it is all him. There was no cock sock. There was no body double. It's all him fighting naked. So, yeah. That's what it's called, by the way. The little sock they have to wear.
I know. I get it. It's, yeah. Ryan Reynolds is having fun with this.
He really is.
And he knew what he was signing up for at the beginning, and he...
Well, yeah, there's also... I saw something about him where he was like, yep, he took home the costume. Because he was like, I've been trying to make this movie for 11 years. And then he just walked off the set on his last day of filming in the costume. He's like, it's mine.
Mine! So there you go. It's like Vin Diesel with all the Fast and Furious movies. He gets to take home one car from all the... For Ryan Reynolds... It was just the suit. That's
it. He's like, mine now. I am Deadpool.
And Cajun Sean said in the chat that a sequel has already been greenlit, which means they're going to have to make another one, which they probably have.
Which I'm fine with, and I really hope they bring in Cable, because that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be fun. All right, the last news story we have this week is a cute little commercial, and it was fun to watch, and we're talking about, of course, Hulk versus Ant-Man in a Coke commercial.
Yeah, it was another Super Bowl commercial, and it was pretty adorable. It's worth a watch.
So go ahead, if you haven't seen it already, which I assume everybody has. I actually have not seen all the Super Bowl commercials. Why? Because I ran into an issue and I wasn't able to watch the Super Bowl live, and I haven't been able to watch them on YouTube yet. So
yeah, I watched them all live. I remember most of them. However, I had been drinking a lot that night. So
I'm told they weren't as good.
I just remember the good ones and the horrific ones.
Yeah, horrific, like the freaking puppy, monkey, baby.
Oh, God, set it on fire.
Oh, my gosh. And it wasn't even animated well.
It was terrifying.
All right. So if you want to hear all about like what the major commercials were during the Super Bowl, you can check out another show on the Gunna Geek Network called Nerd Alert News. And our very own friend of the cast, Chris Farrell, he does it. But in this particular case, the one we're going to talk about, he did it with another friend of the cast, Neil. So in episode 21, they covered the breaking news right here on Blab, Flash and Supergirl crossover, which if you've watched the episodes this week, you're getting an idea of exactly where they're going with this. And they basically came out and said afterwards what they were going to do. But it was intriguing because at first, Greg Berlanti, CBS, CW, and Warner Brothers all said, nope, they're not connected. Well, guess what? They managed to find a way. So if you want to hear all about that, go ahead and pick up Nerd Alert News number 21 on the GunnaGeek.com network and subscribe to the podcast, folks. This is awesome stuff that Chris is bringing to you every week. It's a short 20-minute podcast, and it brings you up to date of all the great nerdy news that you need to know, except for I found that he hasn't covered space. So if you want to see or hear space news, go to the Gunna Geek main podcast. Just a little snippet there. That's what I do. All right. So on to some feedback. All right. He's been active in the chat all night tonight. We do have a tweet from him. This is Mr. Cajun Sean. On Twitter, you can find him at Cajun underscore Sean, and he must have had a heck of a week because, you know, he's down there in the bayou, and they have a wonderful Fat Tuesday from what I'm told. I've never actually experienced it down there. But anyway, he said...
It's bad enough here in Houston, so I can only imagine in, like, actual Louisiana.
Yeah, the Mardi Gras must be a blast there. It's on my bucket list to eventually go down there for it. Okay, so Cajun said... And this is him. This is not any, like, official. But he said, I've got a new breakdown for you. MMU equals Marvel's movie universe. And I heard MMU and I was thinking, that's...
MMA?
No, I was thinking of the mobile maneuvering unit, you know, the pack that astronauts put on. Anyway, so Marvel's movie universe, MNU, Marvel's Netflix universe, and MTVU, Marvel's TV universe. We'll see if
well,
that
now
catches
I'm
on.
Just picturing Iron Man with like the 80s Madonna outfit.
MTVU. There you yes. go. All right. So friend of the cast, Christy, at Adonna Girl, said there should be an app where Agent Rose says encouraging things to you. And I thought this was really neat, Chrissy. It got retweeted a bunch of times and favorited and stuff like that. I think you have a little hit there. I think somebody needs yes. to do that. So somebody needs to contact her and make that happen.
I agree. That would be like the best app ever. It would actually encourage me to start moving in the morning instead of just like lying there trying to pretend that I'm not actually awake.
That's right. And then finally, friend of the cast, Kier, at Kier Hansen. You've heard him on here before talking about Daredevil. He said, I'm just going to leave this right here. And for those of you that haven't seen, I'm going to throw it into the chat and you're going to be able to see what he's talking about. It's a Taiwanese Lego fan uses 15,000 bricks to build a 4.5 foot long shield helicarrier. And I read
that
this
thing is about as long as I am tall.
I think it's heavier than my dog. So they did it without any plans. They did it just by using screenshots and that sort of thing. And they did it from the ground up. So it is incredible. And I love the glassy look of the actual runways.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
The flat top, as it were. Okay. Any other news, Lauren, that we missed?
We also got some feedback from our friend of the show, Andy.
Yeah?
Yeah, talking about this episode of Jessica Jones.
What does he have to say?
Okay, he said it was a surprise to see Jessica more happy 18 months prior before Kilgrave. It was sad, though, too, right? Because you see her, and now she's all messed up because of it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as Trish said Jewel, my immediate response a second before Jessica's was, that's a stripper's name. So, I mean, great minds think alike, I guess.
I think everybody was thinking that.
Yeah, David Tennant really has the positive crazy like the Doctor, as well as the negative crazy like Kilgrave down. I have to agree. I think, I forget who it was, I think several people have said it, that Kilgrave is basically like the evil version of the Doctor. That's how he's playing it.
I'm not so sure the Doctor is completely good anyway, so...
Well, no, but this is like the downright selfish evil, so this is really playing to David Tennant's strengths.
Yeah.
And... Bottom line, 9 out of 10 delicious banana breads.
Yeah, the banana breads where Ruben brings her the banana bread. Do you like it? No.
No.
She ate that real quick. All right. Mm-hmm. That's it for the feedback. We're going to walk this one out. Join us next week as we discuss Agent Carter Season 2, Episode 6.
There's actually 2 episodes of Agent Carter next week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Life of the Party and Season 2, Episode 7, whatever its name is, because it's not in the show notes. And Jessica Jones Season 1. Well, if we're going to do 2 episodes of Agent Carter, we're not going to do Jessica Jones next week.
Yeah.
We're
going
to have to push that off another week. Okay, but if we do, it'll be Jessica Jones, Season 1, Episode 6, a.k.a. You're a Winner. And because this is a long weekend this week, Lauren, you're not going to tweet on Monday, right? You're going to save that for a week?
Okay, since there are 2 episodes of Agent Carter this week, it is Episode 7 is called Monsters.
Mm-hmm. So those are the 2 episodes, Monsters and Life of the Party, that we will be talking about next week.
So I will tweet both of those on Tuesday. No tweets on Monday.
All right. So just a reminder, you can find us at GunnaGeek.com. That is our network webpage. And we do have a voicemail line, 844-THE-BUS-1. That is 844-843-2871. Remember, call in your reactions to Deadpool.
Skull Poopoo.
So there's a Facebook page, a Twitter page, Tumblr page, a YouTube channel, all Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Although our live YouTubes will be on the Gunna Geek YouTube channel. So I have to change that in the show notes, but we will still maintain the other YouTube channel as well. As well as the network found at GunnaGeek.com. Don't forget, I will be at C2E2 on the 18th of March doing a panel on podcasting. And if you found us on Geeks.live, that is where we broadcast live on the Gunna Geek Network. There is a show tomorrow night on Arrow called the Starling Tribune. It shows at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And it will be myself, it'll be Chris, and it'll be Neil. And we will talk about tonight's wonderful episode, which I saw half of it before we started this podcast. It was rocking. A lot of great fighting. So on Sunday morning, you can catch ATGN at 11 a.m. Eastern. On Monday night, you can catch Gunna Geek. And on Tuesday night, you can catch Game Life Balance. So we've got it almost wall to wall. It will be wall to wall shortly, and more on that later. All right. If you have anything on this episode, on former episodes, anything with the Marvel Universe, and we will also talk about Star Wars, go ahead and hit us up on all the ways to contact us. I just want to say thank you to everybody that was with us live here in the chat. We really appreciate you guys being here. You guys make it fun to do this, and we do this for you. So thank you very much.
And thank you to everybody who comments to us on Twitter or on Facebook, everybody who comments on YouTube, and everybody who emails us. We really appreciate all your feedback, and we like knowing that you like listening to us, and it wouldn't be the same without you guys. So thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you very much. I really love this night of the week where we talk about Marvel stuff, and I can't wait till next time. So until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit LegendsOfShield.com, where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
He's in a ton. I looked up his IMDb, and of course, there's the X-Men First Class Secretary of State appearance, but he is in.
I missed that.
It's so long. Yeah, he was the Secretary of State in X-Men First Class.
I've seen that movie like a billion times. How did I miss that? I'm going to have to IMDb this.
Exactly. Well, that's what I did. I'm like, okay, so what else has he been in? I'm like, oh, cool. It's kind of a Marvel crossover. So there we go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's the dad, the very short-lived dad in Jupiter Ascending, and he's in Cloud Atlas, and he's in you know, just all this stuff. But
yeah, he's in a lot of bit roles, but you just remember him from everywhere. So
he's not an X-Men First Class.
He's not. Somebody was. Dang it! Who's the Secretary of State in X-Men First Class? Then we're gonna have to pause the podcast to look this up because
hold on, I'm looking.
I swear it was him. He was in RoboCop. I mean, come on.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
Are you thinking Kurtwood Smith?
No, Ray Wise.
Oh, I thought you were talking James Darcy.
No, Ray Wise.
Oh.
I flipped over on you.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is why you have to say names.
All right.
I was still stuck on James Darcy.
SP is not wrong. Just out of place. Okay.
Why did I just IMDb IMDb? I'm going to log off and go watch Clone Wars.
Yep.
I mean, Rebels. I always say Clone Wars, and every time Scott's like, did you mean Rebels? I'm like, are you Google?
Yes. Catch you later. Bye.
Night, y'all.